We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Feel like Kobe in the fourth quarter.
This is the Dame Moore NBA podcast brought to you by Blue Wire Podcast. Recording this Wednesday evening, June 29th. Hoping to record something that is kind of evergreen here. Wolves stuff, just because I don't know if they're going to trade someone or whatever in the next 48 hours. So we're going to stay away from the whole offseason for this episode, actually these next two episodes, and just focus on the Wolves' two first-round draft picks. For this episode, we'll just be doing a film review of Walker Kessler, the Wolves' 22nd overall pick in the first round. In the week, kind of now since the draft, I've had the chance to actually watch a good amount of Kessler's tape, ready to dig into what we saw, what we didn't see, what we think we might eventually see from Walker Kessler. And to do that, I am joined by Will DeBerg. Will played overseas, coached at the University of St. Thomas. But those of you listening to this probably will recognize Will's voice from our draft coverage we've done the past few years. This year, it didn't really work timing-wise for Will and I to do a whole bunch of pre-draft film review episodes. So we're just going to focus on Walker Kessler and Wendell Moore Jr. with kind of post-draft film reviews of those players. So like I said, this episode will be focused on Walker Kessler. Tomorrow's episode will be, again, with Will, and that will focus on Wendell Moore Jr. Will, how are you? Ready to do this?
I'm good, man. Yeah, let's get into it.
All right. So the way I want to kind of think about this is asking three questions with Walker Kessler, and that's, what do we feel confident he'll be able to do in the league right away, or just in general, what he'll be able to do in the league we're confident in, what he won't be able to do in the NBA, and what we think he might be able to do over time in the league. So when I say that, starting with the what you think he will definitely be able to do in the league, what kind of comes to mind for you?
I mean, it's probably the obvious one, right? Which is what he can do on the defensive side of the ball.
Right.
I think he, I mean, if you look at it, he was the National Defensive Player of the Year. He blocks a ton of shots. He's massive. He's honestly, guys who are that big usually aren't maybe that coordinated or don't move as well. He gets up and down the floor really well. So, I mean, at the very least, I think he'll be able to defend, rebound, run the floor.
Yeah, I think that too. Those are the two I had down, was protect the rim and then rebound both offensively and defensively for this team. I think at Summer League, we'll really see those two things right away. I mean, you've been there at Summer League before. It's a lot of times the centers, quote unquote, of the other team is like a 6'7", 6'8" dude. Walker Kessler is over 7 feet tall without shoes. He'll probably be listed at like 7'2" in the league. So physically, he should be able to dominate at the summer league level with skills that I think should translate to the NBA, even as a rookie. I mean, a shot blocking skill set typically translates pretty well from the college level to the pro level. And then also, I think rebounding. Obviously a big need for the Wolves there as well. But I think those are the two things really with the bullet we can be like, Walker Kessler will do that in summer league. And then if and when he plays for the Wolves, he will be able to defend the rim and rebound with this
group. Yeah. I mean, one thing I thought, I mean, you always have the question with the draft. Do you draft based on need or do you draft based on like best player available? And it's clear that the Wolves with this pick were like, we got to address what we struggle with, which was protecting the rim, keeping Cat out of foul trouble, which is they probably go hand in hand a little bit, and rebounding. So yeah, I think Summer League, it can be a little bit of a, I feel like big guys probably get the short end of the stick a little bit in Summer League, just with how many guards and wings and how fast and sloppy the game can be. Right. But yeah, it'll be fun to watch them for sure.
I think with the rim protection thing, just I kind of went back today and just looked at a bunch of his pick and roll possessions there, and that's a big question I think with Walker Kessler defensively is how they will use him, right? As you said, he isn't your big lumbering 7-footer. Right. He does move a little bit, but it is somewhat of an open question of, you know, how he will be able to defend in pick and roll coverage. And what stood out to me, and I wanted to ask you about this, was, I mean, if we define super basic level of pick and roll coverage of, are you up at the level or are you dropping? More often, you would say Kessler was a drop big in that sort of way. But it was a lot of, like, weaking pick and rolls.
Yeah.
Where you're kind of, it's kind of an in-between there, where you're kind of up showing into a drop in that sort of way. And
it felt, not to cut you off, it felt like they kind of gave him the green light a little bit to pick and choose the spots, which I don't know if that was coaching, if that was just like, hey, do it. I mean, you're a good defender, do what you want.
Right.
But I did, because there was times he was up in the passing lane getting steals and starting fast breaks. And there were other times that he was in a complete drop coverage.
Yeah. Like I wish, I mean, I think about this now through like the lens of how when I cover the Wolves and I'm noticing things that change and are different. Like, I wish I could have asked Bruce Pearl, you know, I wish I was there covering them and being like, what is your coverage plan with Walker Kessler? What do you think he does best? Why in this game did you have him be up at the level all the time? And maybe the answer is just the opposing team had a guy who could pull up and shoot threes in that sort of way. But really, if you do look at Kessler, specifically his pick and roll defensive clips, it's a lot of different things. He did do a diversity of coverages while he was there. And I guess, I don't know if that totally plays into this whole rim protection thing that he can do, because what he can do is drop and defend the rim well. I don't know if I would say what Walker Kessler can for sure do is guard and pick and roll at a high level at the NBA level. Like, no, I wouldn't say that. I would say he could do deep drop at a high level at the NBA level. But how much you're going to be asked to do that, specifically on the Timberwolves, who at least last season rarely did that at all.
His best defensive clips were when he was in the deep drop.
Yes.
Not only stopping the ball and getting his arms out and being, you know, just a big, long dude that to get into passing lanes and stuff, but then when the guard would kick it and somebody else would drive, he was kind of already in the help side, which is where he obviously excels with his shot blocking, his timing, his rotations were really good. But there was no real consistent, like, because I'm with you, I didn't really notice like a pattern with his pick and roll coverage. You know,
right.
They would even switch him at times too.
I
don't think it was effective. I thought he got beat. I mean, he's 7 feet tall. Like, he's going to get beat by guards. But I think it comes back to Bruce Pearl was probably like, if you're guarding, like, we'll take our chances, right? Like, you're a good defender. You're like, so if it just, they kind of gave him free reign almost.
So as a coach, how would you, if your goal ultimately with Walker Kessler is we want him to do multiple things defensively, how would you go about like approaching that as a coach? Do you say right away, like, let's try out different things? Or do you start with just being like, just drop, just defend the rim, we'll add things as we go?
I would lean the latter early on. Just do what you're good at, and we'll go from there.
I think that makes sense to me too. I just, again, we don't know how the Wolves are going to play next year, but I struggle to like be like, okay, so if Carl's on the floor and he's playing center, you're going to be up and you're going to blitz every single time, or you're going to trap the guard. And then when Kessler's in, like, Do you think that will be a real to play so differently with your first unit center versus your second unit center? Is that, do you think that'd be disorienting for the other four players around him?
Maybe. That's probably a question for Finch. Chris Finch. But yeah, but I mean, I don't know. My question to you is, do you think he can play with Cat? And is there a world where, and maybe this is more of a Cat-ish, is there a world that he can somehow help Cat stay out of foul trouble, take some pressure off Cat, let Kessler be the guy to get three fouls in right. 6 minutes? Like, is there a world where, maybe not year one, but is in your mind, is there a world where that happens?
I'm with it. Yeah, I have for a while been of the mind that I would like to see at least that from Cat. Like, it's not that Cat hasn't played with quote unquote centers before. Like, he Tibbs's first year, Gorgie and Cat both started, you know.
Yep.
And I would say in that pairing, Cat would have been the power forward, right? And then with Taj Gibson too, like, Taj functioned as a center on that team, sure. At least, you know, offensively, he often guarded the Jokic's and those type of guys. But Gorgie and Taj aren't really, they're not modern day bigs at all. And I don't even mean that from a shooting standpoint. They're not really, weren't shooters when they were the Wolves, but also just from like a real hard rim roller. That was neither of their games, or as a real rim protector. I mean, Gorgie kind of defended the rim, but Kessler is
he's different.
If he plays next to Cat, it will look different, I think, than any other time that we've seen Cat play next to another quote unquote big.
I mean, Kessler will be the best shot blocker in theory that Cat's played with, and I'm not sure it's even remotely close.
Yeah, I mean, right? It would be KG as a rookie. I don't, but could KG jump then? I don't. Yeah, no.
And this isn't to say necessarily that Kessler is going to be an awesome shot blocker in the NBA, but in college, I mean, he had two or three games with like 10 or 11 blocks. Like, he looked like a college. if you haven't watched him, he kind of looked like he played like a Rudy Gobert type mm-hmm. in college.
Yeah, I mean, he had 10 blocks for 100 possessions. I have a stat in here too. He had a 19.1 block rate this year, and that's the best mark in college basketball since 2008.
Yeah,
when Larry Sanders had a block rate of 19.3. I mean,
I don't think people realize how crazy that number is.
That it's insane. And I mean, I think a lot of it was helped. I mean, Jabari Smith was awesome.
Yeah,
defensively out there next to him, often on the perimeter. You know, but I would say that Walker Kessler was just as important to Jabari Smith's defense as vice versa. I mean, that poorly, but
Auburn had, I think it was like the fourth or fifth or sixth, don't quote me on this, but one of the top six or seven defensive ratings in college basketball. And I think that kind of stems with, like, it goes back to Walker Kessler. It gives guards and wings confidence, like, hey,
right,
I can go be aggressive. I can pressure the ball. I can do all this stuff, knowing that if I get beat, like, we're still in good shape.
Yeah, I mean, That's kind of how Kessler first came on my radar. Like, we were like, all right, we're not doing pre-draft podcasts. We were going to go through at least all the lottery guys and do that. And we watched film on Jabari and Banchero and Chet. And really, that was the first time Kessler came on to my radar. I'm watching just the Jabari clips.
Yep.
I'm like, who's this big white dude? Right. Like, and I knew, I mean, I don't follow college basketball during the season. I don't even know if I'd heard the name before. I didn't know he was like a draft prospect at all, but I was kind of like, man, this is really helping Jabari. Like, not only, not only on the defensive end too, but it's funny because, again, Kessler only shot 20% from three this year, but I was like, oh, this is kind of nice for Jabari where he's got this big 7-footer guy who can space the floor. I didn't know what the percentage was, but Kessler was a big part of why Jabari Smith was really successful this year. And I mean, Jabari maybe is going to be more of like a wing type of player in the league, but in college, he was a floor spacing big.
Totally.
Which is what Cat is. And I think that should be encouraging. And to the point of being able to play next to each other, I think for sure on offense, that should be really helpful because and we're going to get to the jump shot at some point, but even if the jump shot isn't there, Kessler with his size as a target, as a role man, is going to create space. We normally think of spacing, right, as like pulling people out to the perimeter. You can create spacing by pulling perimeter defenders into the rolling big. And I think Kessler will be able to do that. And if Kat's spotted up on the perimeter, if he's surrounded by, you know, Beasley, D'Lo, Ant, shooters like that around him, I mean, I really think Kessler playing next to Kat could be advantageous on offense as well. I don't know if I have no idea how much they will go to that, but even though you drafted Walker Kessler to be a role player, it's still a first round pick.
Right.
I don't think you just draft a guy 22nd overall with your long term vision being, all right, man, 13 minutes a night for the next 6 years, Kat's under contract. Like, you have to play them together at least some.
Well, we just went through before the pod, we went through the 20 through 30 of the 2020 draft, and like eight or nine of those guys are playing like big minutes on playoff teams. Mm-hmm. And they're not the best player on these playoff teams, but they're guys who are playing very, very important minutes.
Do you have that list up again?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, this is the Jade. Well, we did this draft, and that was the first draft. I think we went through the two of us, where Jaden was the 28th pick, Bain was the 30th. But do you have them there? Read them.
Yeah. So, from 19 to 30, and so these are guys. I mean, you can find other drafts where 19 to 30 are probably guys who are relatively. But in the 2020 draft, 19 through 30, Sadiq Bey, Precious, Tyrese Maxey, Zeke Nagy, Leandro Balmero, R.J. Hampton. But then you go Emmanuel Quickley, Peyton Pritchard, Jaden McDaniels, Malachi Flynn, Desmond Bain.
I mean, and
all playoff guys playing meaningful.
And all probably will ultimately like peak as really good role players. I mean, maybe Maxey has some like star upside. Bain has star role players.
With real like, not red flags, but guys with real like legit holes in their games coming into the draft where you're like, I don't know if it's going to. But now guys who are kind of excelled within their role and who are very valuable.
Let's take a quick break and then let's come back and talk about what some of those holes in Kessler's game might be.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Alrighty, we are back with Will DeBerg. We are going through Walker Kessler's film at Auburn. We're talking about what we think he will be able to do in the league, what he won't be able to do, and what he might be able to do. We started with what we feel confident he'll be able to do. What sticks out to you as things that Walker Kessler won't be able to do as a rookie and might never be able to do in the NBA?
I mean, the obvious one is the shot, but I think we'll talk about that. The other thing that's a little concerning is, going back to defense, is for how good he was at blocking shots, I thought he left his feet way too much, which got him in foul trouble, which just put him out of position. So for a guy who's already an elite shot blocker, I think there's still he can still get better at that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Even in situations where like he would have a guy kind of locked up in the 15-foot range and the guy would just pump fake and he'd fly at him and either get a foul or, you know, just be completely out of position. So where I think he's awesome, I still think like he needs to get more disciplined, stay on his feet, just realize like if you just stay on your feet and put your hands up,
you're already there
and like make guys hit shots over you. So that was on the defensive end, because I think he's a very good defensive player, like I've said, but I do think there's growth to be had there.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't think I would put that in a, like, that will be a can't forever.
Right.
I think it'll be a learned skill, but you're right. Coming in, he will have foul problems.
He has a little that where Cat would just try to block a shot when he had no chance and just
particularly like earlier career
rebound, take himself out of the play. That's the one that stood out to me, because I think if he's going to play early, it's going to be because he's a good defender.
Right.
So that's something he needs to shore up.
And I guess if it is only a 13-minute a game role, it doesn't really matter how many fouls you pick up.
Right.
Like, as long as pick up three.
Spot. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Not if you add Cat.
Yeah.
The one that really stood out to me as a won't be able to do, and I think this is probably a never will be able to do, is post up. It's just not a part of his game at all. He gets bumped down there and loses his center of gravity balance in that sort of way. I mean, he looks like a dude who grew up playing just on offense, shooting threes on the perimeter.
I have that exact note. He plays strong until he has the ball, and until you ask him to do something.
And somebody just kind of like leans on his hip, and he just kind of like tips over.
I agree with you, but I would counter that with, does that matter?
Like, no. I actually talked about this. We had the introductory press conference for Kessler a little bit, so maybe some people have already heard this, but yeah, I went through it, and then his numbers were terrible in post up situations. At Auburn last year. But I mean, would you like your big to be able to do that? I guess. But in 2022 in the NBA, there was only five centers in the NBA last year who averaged over a point per possession in post-up situation. Post-ups that led to a shot, right? And
who were they? Do you know?
Jokic, Embiid, Jarrett Allen randomly. I don't remember. Cat wasn't on it though. Cat was like 0.9. I mean, Cat had a tough year posting up because he got doubled all the time, but like that's pretty consistent over the, I mean, Cat's normally in that group, but it's normally like 5, 6, 7 centers who can do it, and they're oftentimes the elite centers in the league. I would just say to people who are, you know, haven't watched Kessler or are going to see him play for the first time, he's not going to be that dude who just like goes on the block like seals and is like, feed me. He's bad at it. He catches in those situations, and it's awkward when he tries to like go to a hook or try and be physical in a post situation. Typically what he'll do is like try and take a fadeaway.
Like that awkward like 10-foot hook shot.
Exactly. So you're totally right. I don't think that will be a very costly thing for him. But I do think it'll be a never thing for him.
Yeah.
It's just, he plays with good force rolling to the rim. So if he can just like catch it on the move on the run and just dunk it right away, sure. But when he has to kind of like, he catches it on the roll and there's like a guy or two there and he has to like do a move into the dunk or a move into the layup, that's when it gets a little dicey.
And that's one of my concerns, like, because I do think there's a world where like as a short roll man, if he can kind of learn how to, because he's got good hands. That's the one thing that I think being 7'1".
Finch said that yesterday.
He's got really good hands. And that's, you can't teach that, right? You just kind of do or you don't. But if he can
most of the Wolves' current bigs don't.
But like as a short roll man, if he can just get a little bit more like not robotic, where it's like he can just, instead of just catching it and think like, put my head down and try to like shoot it.
I had that down as a maybe.
I think that's going to take this with a grain of salt, kind of determine his success a little bit, especially offensively.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, if we're right that he can for sure defend the rim and rebound at a high level, that isn't going to be enough to be more than a 13-minute a game player in the league, just a backup center. He needs to add the short role playmaking, which I would say is a maybe, or and or the shooting, which I think is also a maybe. Would you, are you putting that in the never category, or
it's so hard to say. I mean, like gun to my head, I'd probably say no. I mean, he shot 20 per, well, he made 10 threes. He shot 54% from the line. I don't,
not good statistical indicators.
No, and I don't, the form, I hope I'm wrong, and like a lot can change, right? Like there's guys who have come into this league who have not been able to shoot, who then are good shooters. So with the right shooting coach, with the right.
See, man, what I go to is he looks comfortable doing it.
He does.
He looks like he's played basketball his whole life taking threes.
My guess is in high school and AAU, he shot whatever he wanted. If I had to guess.
Right.
I never watched him play a second of high school basketball. But if I had to guess, like he was just like, you're open, shoot it. Like without any.
There was like a, Conley was up there with him at the, when he was doing his introductory press conference. And he kind of like, Conley made a joke to Kessler sitting up there about only shooting 20% from three last year. And I think and kind of know the reason he's making that joke is because Conley and Finch and everybody in that organization does not think that 20% is representative.
Yeah.
And, you know, to some extent, like we can just go small sample size with it. He only took 50 and he made, you know, he made 10. It's not a tiny sample size, but I really do think internally in the Wolves organization, they for sure have it as a maybe maybe have it as a thing they really think Kessler will be able to do. And really, it's, I mean, I don't know, you take one or two a game. Like it's not, we're not talking about being a cat and, you know, taking eight in games. If he can do, well, let's just say if the shot is something he can be relied upon to do even 33%, like 33% three-point shooter and also be a role man playmaker. Now, you are talking about a starting center.
For sure.
Because if we're right about the rim protection translating to the next level, I mean, that is, I don't know. I mean, that's like a $15 million big in the league these days if you can do those things. What did you just think about it mechanically, his shot?
I think there are two ways to answer this question. One is I think like hand-eye coordination and shooting go hand in hand. And I think he strikes me as a guy who's really coordinated. Just he's got good hands. He's got pretty good footwork. Like
good golfer, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Runs the floor well. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I think, I know that has nothing really to do necessarily from a shooting standpoint, but I do think hand-eye coordination and shooting are very correlated.
Totally.
From an actual shot mechanic standpoint, I thought it was a little inconsistent. I mean, he shoots it from his shoulder, maybe even behind his shoulder. And I thought, again, I watched him shoot 53s or guys out there who've watched him. So maybe I'm wrong, but
that's what the 53s look. You're right. That's
it
what
looks
the 53s
different.
Look like.
It, sometimes it's up a little bit higher. Sometimes it's literally from his shoulder.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's always concerning when I don't know if you shoot the ball the same way.
Totally. That is the biggest red flag. I mean, I kind of lean into believing in or just trusting the fact that the Timberwolves have done substantially more, you know, background and research on this. And so I don't know. I think if they do genuinely believe in it, there's probably something to that.
Well, that's the thing. Admittedly, we've seen he took 53s.
That's what we've seen.
All 53s that we've ever seen. So.
But there might have been, I mean, in those 53s, there might have been, we could probably pull five different clips and be like, this three didn't look like, this three didn't look like either of the, you know what I mean?
He has some bad misses too.
He does. He also had, there was also a handful of them that really were like in and out too.
True.
So I was like kind of thinking about that. I'm like, and then I just was like, all right, I'm not getting married to this 20% number at all. I know I'm not going to bank on him being a 40% shooter, but I'm just going to go by kind of the way it looks and the way it feels. And I think the way, it's weird to say, like, I feel more confident in Kessler because he seems confident in it.
Yeah.
Then I lose some of that confidence when I watch 10 of those shots in a row because they do look different. You would think that's something that gets ironed out in an NBA player development program.
I would think so, yeah. The other thing, too, and again, I don't know how much weight this carries, but watching those guards on Auburn, to be Jabari or to be Kessler, like, those guards did not do them any favors. Do you know what I mean? Like, they didn't set them up well. They took a lot of really bad shot. It was almost like they didn't realize that they were playing with two first round picks.
I mean, it's a real case for Jabari to be like,
it's unbelievable. Like,
because Jabari was taking hard shots.
Hard shots. And so I also give both Jabari and Walker Kessler a little bit of a break there because they weren't playing with guys who were actively looking to like set them up and make their lives easier. And, you know,
they're just trying to not turn it over, like
not turn it over or like get theirs. Right. And it was, I don't know. I found it. I'm not an Auburn fan by any means, but I was like kind of frustrated watching it. Cause when I watched a couple of like his full games just to get the feel for that. And man, some of those guards were, they thought they were the first round picks. Seriously, they played like that.
Put me in the mix. Yeah. I think the one other question mark I have for Kessler, most of my questions with Kessler are the offensive end, right? And what are the, you know, where is he going to be used and how is he going to be used? And this kind of comes back to the cat thing of like, how do you like set up your offensive chessboard if Walker Kessler's on the floor? You know, is they kind of need to make a decision on, is he going to be a guy who starts in the dunker every single time? Or are you going to kind of try and just have him out there as a floor spacer, right? Where he just comes down and he starts the possession above the break. And obviously choosing the latter option there, but just being a floor spacer, he's going to need to prove that he can shoot some.
Right.
But being able to do both and possession himself in the dunker and above the break, if he can do both those things, that'll do Carl a lot of favors.
Yeah.
In being able to use Carl in different ways, offensively, what do you think, or how would you go about it in terms of positioning Kessler?
I mean, like early on, I just, again,
dunker
spot. Cause again, I think he's a good athlete. I think he's got good hands and I think he finishes well around the rim. If he's going to get on the floor early next year in his first, you know, 1 or 2 years, I mean, again, from what I've seen, I would have him more in that dunker spot.
Yeah. What I would do is I would do like the, you know, it's kind of step one and two of the progression, right? Start in the dunker. If Kat's running a pick and roll with D'Lo or Ant, then you're moving to the corner, right? Yeah. And that's a good place to start shooting threes too. If you're somebody who has some question marks surrounding your shot, like let's take corner threes first. And I think that's something, but if he does
that and teams don't guard him and he doesn't make shots early, they won't. It's also a quick way to get him.
Oh, he won't play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because like with Van, I mean, that was the case with Vando, but Vando did everything else.
Yes.
Right. And was,
talk to me about the route of how Kessler plays 15 minutes a game next year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, again, we're recording this on the 29th.
Without knowing what happens.
Yeah. I mean, it right now, well, it's just so odd how the, like NBA calendar kind of works here when everybody's changing around on teams. Like we do the draft before we do any of these signings or trades. So as we sit here right now, we've just done the draft portion, none of the signings or trades. And so you have this, like, you still have Naz Reid on the team that was the 15 minute a game. Like, right. Naz had that
role
last
year.
That's
what I was getting at. Yeah.
He exclusively, almost exclusively just played as Kat's backup. That was that. Naz is still on the team. I'm a fan of Naz. But I recognize his deficiencies, particularly defensively and defensive rebounding. So I don't know. I mean, if you're going to give Kessler 13, 15 minutes a game, game one, the first month of the season, I mean, you would have to shelf Naz and not play him at all. Again, I wouldn't rule out Naz getting traded in part because of this reason, in the next few weeks. But if Naz and Kessler are both on the team and Kessler can't shoot and what we talked about before, like he's not able to play make at all in the role, then yeah, this is a team trying to make the playoffs. Like
Right. They're
not going to just spoon feed him 15 minutes a game if Naz is a better option there. So, I mean, I think it would be that. And then the next step, right, is, which in Naz's good moments where we're like, well, oh man, Naz is having a great month. Can we get him 6-8 minutes a game next to Carl too, to get him up to 20 minutes a night? I think that would be the progression for Kessler, as he starts as the backup center. And then if the shot is there, if there's more of these things, if he's a quick learner, then you start talking about, all right, let's see what he looks like, playing next to Carl, because that's the big picture, right? Like, you have to at least have that goal in your mind that someday those two will play together. I'm fascinated to see if it'll be right away, but my guess right now on June 29th would be Carl plays 35 minutes a night and Kessler gets those backup minutes and Nas is either not on the team, sitting on the bench, or maybe they'll try and make him a power forward. I don't know.
Gun to your head, if Nas and Kessler, I mean, Kessler will be on the team, but if Nas is on the team, you would say you'd give Kessler the nod at those backup.
I think Nas would be significantly better on offense. I think Nas next year will be significantly better on offense than Kessler. But again, we're talking about role players.
We're trying to fill holes.
The holes that need to be caulked are the rebounding and the rim protection of this team. So if Kessler shows any flashes in summer league training camp, I think you have to give him that. But it also might be the case where it's like, there's a ways to go here. Like,
yep.
Nas, you just take the backup minutes at the beginning of the season. And maybe, maybe it's like Jaden McDaniels, his rookie year, where the first 25 games of the season didn't play at all and slowly kind of added into the rotation. But I think ultimately the answer to that question is going to be determined by once we see what the roster is, 3-4 weeks from now, and are like, okay, these are the bigs you have on the team. These are the players you have around them. But I don't know. I mean, I think in ways Kessler could be really helpful, not only to Cap, but to D'Lo on both sides of the ball, rim protector, a bigger pick and roll option. D'Lo had a ton of success with Jared Allen in Brooklyn. So
Kessler, we didn't talk about this, and it's a very small thing. Kessler's a really good screen setter, by the way. It's completely
That extends the Gobert comp, too.
Correct. And when you're playing with really good players, really good offensive players, like those little things are going to get you on the, like if you're getting Ant and these other guys' shots, like that's gonna pay dividends.
I mean, he's 20 years old and weighs 256 pounds. And I wouldn't say, I mean, maybe he can cut some fat, but he's not pudgy.
No.
I mean, he's gonna work on an NBA body, but he's already massive.
Yeah, huge.
Like, and not just so that to the screen setting thing, like that's a wall to navigate if he's setting a screen for D'Lo or Ant up there. That
might sound like a silly, positive trait, but ask D'Lo, ask Ant, ask Malik Beasley. Like it matters.
I know. I mean, it feels like a meme or whatever where people like make fun of that with Gobert. Watch the Jazz play.
Yeah.
For Donovan Mitchell, for Joe Ingles, whatever. Like when Gobert sets a screen, it is very hard as the point of attack defender to stay connected to Donovan Mitchell in that spot. And with the Wolves, I mean, with D'Lo and with Ant in Minnesota, like who's been a good screener on this team? Carl, that's not a strength of Carl's. Nas is kind of like a touch you and spin off of it, focused on the role. Like there's value, particularly with guys like Ant and D'Lo who are pull-up guys. Just set me a hard screen and let me like get my 1-2 into a pull-up jumper. I think that's a good point that Kessler will definitely hit. Do we have anything else on him we need to hit on? What do we miss?
I think that's all. All I got.
So just to recap it here, what he will be able to do, we feel confident he's going to be able to defend the rim and offensive rebound. That's not don't think that's a hot take in any way. He won't be able to do? Staying on his feet. He's a little jumpy.
That's more what I don't know, because he's very jumpy.
But you would agree with me that posting up,
it's fixable for sure.
Yeah. Oh, that is. But the post up is probably the one thing that is out.
Yeah.
Like that is just not going to be his game. And then the question marks are, can he control his jumpiness to stay out of foul trouble? Can he be a playmaker on the roll? And can he shoot the three? It's not that high of a bar to shoot the three. Like even if you're low 30s and you're a center, then you can at least stand out there, you know, and be able to do that. I think that's all you're hoping for with Kessler. And who knows, maybe it's another big lumbering white dudes like Myers Leonard, who eventually, they just rep out that shot and they're a 40% 3-point shooter because they're getting open looks. Like
right.
Kessler's going to get, he's going to be open on the perimeter if he wants to, whether it's pick and pop or just or just spacing there. But I think that's Walker Kessler. I'm going to wrap up this episode with Will DeBerg. We're actually going to record another episode right now on Wendell Moore Jr. If you're finishing this, you can go, I guess, look ahead into your feed for the next episode, which is a film review of Wendell Moore Jr. I also recorded with Britt kind of reacting to the introductory press conference. That will be the previous episode in your feed. We'll have a lot of stuff here surrounding the draft, free agency, and summer league coming in the next few weeks. Will, thanks for doing it, and for another episode.
How I'm feeling, man, I hope it never stop, yeah. Green and hot so you can find me in the crowd, yeah, yeah. Don't let standards ever bring you down, yeah. Hope you dancing like no